Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this Sunday, July 19. I hope you had a great week. I want to thank everybody who donated or came out to help our Cove Big Garage stuff sale. These last couple days, Friday and Saturday, great success. That whole new expansion barn there that we made at the Cove was completely filled with an enormous amount of stuff that we were able to sell in the Waverly Garage Sales to do as a fundraiser for the ministry there, the youth ministry. And so thank you to everybody who took the time to donate something or come out to that. It was a great success. Coming up this next Sunday, July 26th, from 6 to 8 p.m., we've reserved the Waverly Aquatic Center for our church and friends. And so if you would like to bring the kids out, and it is a beautiful, wonderful outdoor pool and slide and lazy river and splash park, and we'll have some treats there. We've reserved it from 6 to 8 Sunday, July 26th. Hope that you can make that. And then 2 weeks from today, on Sunday, August 2nd, after church, we're going to have our annual Growing Hope Farmers Market. And so I would really love it if you could consider keeping and donating some of the items that are in your gardens, whatever they might be. Or some people also have crafts that they make, baked goods, breads and cookies and things like that. What we're doing there is we do every year a farmer's market, and all the money that comes in that is raised from that goes to Growing Hope, this wonderful mission organization that we partner with that helps bring farming and agriculture and training, as well as the message of Christ, all over the world in the places that need it most. And they're doing a terrific job. And so whatever we raise from these food items and growing items goes directly to that ministry. And then we also support them a little extra from our budget as well. But it's a great ministry. If you want to know more about it, you can tell me, and I can tell you more about it. But they also do a few different mission trips in a year. And you can go with them and see some of the places where they're pouring into. And they do these short, small little groups, six people, eight people that can go there. I'm really wanting to go on one this next year, and maybe that's something you'll want to do too. But come support the Growing Hope Farmers Market at our church downstairs after service in 2 weeks. So store up as much as you can of your fruits and vegetables and that, and we're going to have a wonderful market there for that. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read for us just three verses here, 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, a very famous scripture of Jesus, something that he's taught here, he actually invites here, but it's going to make sense in a minute why we're reading this, because of the fruit of the Spirit. The study we're on this summer, we're on number 8 today, which is about gentleness and how God wants to grow this in our life. And so I want to read this scripture that speaks about who Jesus is. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Isn't that a great one? We all need to hear that, some days more than others. Well, this summer, as we've been studying through the fruit of the Spirit, the 9 core traits of Jesus Christ, who he is and who he's creating and wanting to grow us to be, we as believers are reminded that we are called to be like him. our Savior, to not live by our flesh anymore, but to learn to live by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit every day as He's nudging us. And Jesus said in John 15:5 that if we abide in Him, He's gonna bear fruit in our life, good fruit. And Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit that He wants to grow in our life is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So we've already looked at 7. Today we're looking at number 8, gentleness. And I think I say this every week, but when you really stop, and anybody can do this at any time, and you really stop and you say, I want to do a word study in the Bible, you know, like gentleness, as we've been going through every one of these fruits of Spirit, when you really look at these words and you find all the contexts and scriptures and chapters that speak of them, you learn a lot and see how important these things are to God, how they reveal who He is and who He wants us to be. And it's not just in one verse, it's in hundreds throughout the Bible. The world now is not often gentle. We know that, right? I mean, the world can be a rough, harsh, mean, cruel, rooted, and impatient place, but within it, we are to be holy. We are to be set apart. We are to be different. We are to be like our God. We are to be good and faithful and patient, abounding in love to both God and our neighbors. And part of the love that we are to have is gentleness, which the word comes from a different word, grace. Grace and gentleness work together. In fact, a really good definition of gentleness is that it is the physical expression of grace to someone else. The physical expression of grace. It's showing grace to another person. Where someone could be overly critical of another, but instead they refrain, that is gentleness. That is showing grace. Where someone could attack another with words or put them down or pile on burdens or come on rude and or strong, but instead pulls back, remembers the grace of God that has shown them in their life. And so likewise, they pass it on. They reflect that. They show mercy and kindness instead of harshness. They consider maybe even what the other person might be going through right now and chooses to be sensitive to that rather than lay it on extra thick or add, you know, a personal struggle that they don't need more of. But to encourage instead, to lend a hand maybe even, to offer a word of forgiveness even. All of this could be characterized under the title of gentleness and what it is. It is grace giving. We who have been shown such grace by Christ are called to be givers of grace. Now, when I first heard the word gentle and thought about it for this week, I'm not exactly sure why, but the first thing I thought about was the gentle dentist. Okay, my mom worked at a dentist office when I was growing up, so we were there a lot, and so I got to know Dr. Henry, the dentist, and he wasn't as bad as everybody thought him to be. You know, dentists can have a bad reputation for wanting to inflict pain on people. I saw many kids and adults come in for a cleaning or a cavity, and they were all anxious. Many people fear the dentist. When my kids were young, we took them to a gentle dentist, said so right on the sign. If you've ever seen the movie Little Shop of Horrors, you know that the dentist there in that movie seemed to really enjoy inflicting pain on other people. Well, in some respects, that is unfair to the dentist world that they have this reputation, but it can be true to a degree. I've sat in many dentist chairs where the hygienist or the doctor did not seem to notice or even care that I was very uncomfortable. They were poking me lots with a pointy stick. They were making me hold my mouth open for an enormously long period of time. But praise the Lord for those few dentists who are just a little more mindful of what their patients might be going through and consider what they might do to lessen the uncomfortable experience, not add to it. That is gentleness. We are invited, similarly, to live our life like Christ when it comes to the sins and struggles and burdens that other people are carrying in this world, the sufferings that they may be going through, to be mindful of them, to be aware of others, to be considerate, to be understanding, to be more patient, to show some grace, because it can be hard to live out there. I've learned so many things being a pastor. One of them is that people carry heavy burdens that we know nothing about. They go through their work day or go in and out of a store. They drop off their kids at school, and we just don't know what they're struggling with at work or at home or with a child or a parent or health or big regrets or fears they live with or heavy grief or addictions and things that fill their house. And so we may not think that what we need of them is that big of a deal, or what we're asking of them is too demanding or unreasonable, or that the way that we're treating them isn't fair or just. It may be. And for anyone else on any other day, it might just be fine. But perhaps if we were to look just a little bit closer, try a little harder to listen to the Spirit of God that is speaking to us, we might just find a little tenderness that someone else could really use right today. We might be able to brighten their day rather than darken it further. We might be able to lift someone's spirit rather than further crush it. This is gentleness. For many carry a heavy load. Are you able to see it? Gentleness is not adding, but lessening the burdens of others. It's loving consideration and choosing to cherish our wife, not be so demanding of her. It is grace when somebody messes up. It is not a harsh rebuke, but a loving word of forgiveness. And we all need it. Gentleness is having the power to be critical, negative, harsh, demanding, but instead refraining, surrendering the power to tear another down, and instead look for ways to build them up. There was a time in my life when I kind of went through burnout. I let it happen. I brought it on myself, my own ego and need to please and wanting to prove myself, but I crashed and burned. And when you're in that place of weakness, you've got nothing left. And you can feel it leading towards depression or hopelessness or anxiety, and you want to still perform, but you got nothing there. You want to do what you need to do, but you don't got it in you. You're just totally spent, totally exhausted. I've been there. But when I went into that place, what I experienced was the grace and gentleness of God and others that lifted me up. I felt like such a failure to God. I felt like I was letting down my wife. I felt embarrassed. I couldn't do my work. But in that place, my wife, God bless her, didn't say, "Come on, get it together." But she came alongside of me and helped me and asked, "What can I do?" The church all supported me and loved me and took some of the burdens that I was carrying so I didn't have to carry them by myself. And they gave me time to rest and heal and come back refreshed. And in my walk with Christ, I went away to take a moment to rest in Him, in His finished work. Excuse me. In His unfailing love, in His acceptance of me, not because I was perfect or had accomplished something great, but just because I was His. This is when I found that incredible Bible verse that I read for us to start, where Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Oh, the grace and love of God that meets us in the place of our weakness or our failures. Time and time again, he carries us. He carried our heavy cross. He's covered us in his gentleness and grace and does so every day. Oh, his love. Something that came to my mind this week was that I can be an overreactor, you know, to circumstances and people and everything, whereas a person who is gentle underreacts. Think about that. It's something that us perfectionists or people who are so interested in what is right or what needs to get done now, we can miss the moments we need to underreact, to really look at a person and to see the beauty, to see the goodness, to see the moments that Christ is calling us to show his gentleness and grace and underreact to them and help them lift their burdens. To see the weary soul, to learn the way of Jesus, to help lighten the loads of others, to help carry the cross of others, to help strengthen the weak and weary knees. It's not always best to be a bull in a china shop. 98% of the time, what a marriage needs is just a little more tenderness, a little more understanding, a little more grace with one another, a little more prayer, and acting like Jesus and less like us. Gentleness is the physical expression of God's grace that we have received in him that we now pass on to someone else who needs it. Isaiah 40:11 says of the Lord, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." David said of God in 2 Samuel 22:36, "Lord, your saving help has been my shield. Your gentleness has made me great." Think about that. Your gentleness with me has made me great. This goes against sometimes what we believe and how we feel. We got to push people, you know, or yell louder at them so they'll get it. But this verse is so similar to the Apostle Paul, who wrote in Romans 2:4 that it was God's kindness to him that led him to repentance. Both of these amazing men of God who did amazing things in their life, they both share that it wasn't God's anger that turned their heart. It was God's grace. It was God's gentleness with them. He showed them grace when he could have shown them wrath. It was his love that healed their heart and drew them to him. His help when they didn't deserve it. David became the man of God that he was, not because God yelled at him over and over again every day, beating him up in his failures, but because God was so generous and kind and good and helpful and constantly blessing him when he didn't deserve it. David looks back at his life and he sees God building him up rather than tearing him down, and says it was God's gentleness that made him great. Do we believe that in our parenting of our kids? In our world, in our witness, I still think we believe that it's the louder we yell or the more we put on them or whatever that things will get done, or the tougher we gotta be, the more they'll fall into place. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there isn't a time to speak difficult truth or times when we don't all need discipline. We do. God in his love also disciplines us, but he knows the right time and way, and it's never contrary to his gentleness. Maybe 98% of the time that we raise our voice and point our finger, maybe it should be the other way around. That 2% of the time we maybe need to push rather than 98. The Spirit of God wants to make us more gentle than we are, more filled with His Spirit, and less angry, demanding person. Isaiah 42, 1-3 says, "Here is my servant of whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." I love this verse. It's very powerful for me, and so very countercultural. It's describing who Jesus is. It's saying that he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice. He doesn't need to. How often we think we've got to raise our voice, show our frustration, get all mad in here to be heard, to get something done, rather than thinking about what's best here. What will encourage that person forward? What will only defeat them and turn them into an enemy? Jesus didn't have to raise his voice or yell in the streets to speak truth. Jesus taught and people listened. He spoke with authority. He didn't come with force, but with love. And he invited all who had ears to hear. It says a bruised reed he won't break, a smoldering wick he won't snuff out. His goal isn't to defeat them, but save them. He wants to strengthen the bruised reed, not break it. He wants to ignite the smoldering wick, not blow it out. Do we want the same for the people around us in our life? When we are not gentle, I think we don't care who we hurt, who we offend, who we destroy. We aren't thinking about them and what they're going through. We're just thinking about our own agendas. And even with our wife and kids, we can speak in anger, careless words, or pile on harsh demands they're not meant to carry. This is not the fruit of God. I think of the Samaritan woman at the well. Her life wasn't great and obedient. She was not following God. But Jesus came to her, and even though he spoke truth to her, he did it in a way, if you notice, that still respected her, upheld her, and invited her, did not tear her down. His goal was to lift her burden and to pour into her living water, to raise her up to a new life. He was gentle and humble with her in his approach. Many believe that Charles Spurgeon is one of the greatest preachers who has ever lived. He's famous for saying that of the 89 chapters in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's only one place where Jesus describes his own heart. And that's our verse that we read for today in Matthew 11, 28-30, where Jesus says, "I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart." Now, don't take this too far. But Jesus is like the gentle dentist. He's there to deal with the cavity. He's got to remove it. The sin in us is killing us. He isn't going to tell us we don't have a cavity when we do. He isn't going to tell us sin doesn't matter. It does. Sin is our enemy. It's separating us from God and hurting other people. It's destroying us from the inside out. He came to deal with sin. But he loves us and cares about us so much. He is gentle and humble in heart. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't add more pain to us that we're already bearing. He didn't come to load on us an even heavier burden of law and sin. He came to lift the burden. He came to fulfill the law, to save us from our sins. He took the penalty. He carried the cross. He died our death. He removed everything that separated us from him. By faith in him, we're now free to live and to know and to walk in love and joy and peace and goodness. And by his Spirit, we find strength for today, hope for tomorrow. His grace is sufficient for us. We are made perfect in our weakness through him. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls." Different than than the other religious leaders of the day. In Matthew 23:4, Jesus spoke about the teachers of law and Pharisees and what they did. He said, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders that they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to help. Let us not be like them, but like Jesus. Let us be like Jesus, who it says in Philippians 2, being in the very nature God, didn't use it to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing. He took the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, becoming even obedient to death on a cross. This is the definition of humility, to make oneself low, to consider another person more than yourself. And Philippians 2 says, if we've got any encouragement from that relationship that we get to have with Jesus, if we've found any comfort from his love for us, then let us be of the same spirit to one another. And so the fruit of gentleness, you see, is this humility. It is this grace way of Jesus in us that we pass on to others, that we would see them like he sees them and treat them as he has treated us. Gentleness begins in the heart as we abide in Christ every day, spend time with him in his word and prayer, and receive his grace. We begin to be able to show it to other people better. I find that it's important for me to know when I'm the least gentle in my life and to really put a guard around those times. And so for me, when I'm most stressed and behind in my work, when I'm feeling disrespected or insecure in my life, when I'm in a hurry or I'm feeling hurt, these are maybe times when gentleness is the hardest for me to give. This is when I can get really critical, or in my insecurities want to tear somebody else down or start demanding of people rather than working with people and forgetting to show respect to them or love or patience. It's in those moments that I need to be more mindful to let the gentleness of Christ come out. Just to conclude this sermon, I want to get into a few Bible verses of where we see we're supposed to show gentleness. The first one is in our families, and maybe this is where we show it the least, and we need to work on that. In our marriages with our spouse. Ephesians 5 says, wives are to respect their husbands, and husbands are to love their wives like Jesus. If you look deeper at those scriptures, gentleness is implied in both cases. The gentle, grace-filled way that we talk to and about each other in marriage. The consideration we have for the other's feelings or the burdens that they're carrying. The husband must learn how to humbly serve his wife and consider her heart. And the wife needs to learn how to respect and not tear down her husband. Both are gentleness in there. Even in the way we're supposed to parent, it's supposed to be with gentleness. Ephesians 6 says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. This speaks to a child needing gentleness from us. You can still discipline, but not hurt, not harm, not tear down with words, not disrespect your kids. Some guys got such an ego and they think they got to put the fear of God in them, and that's not the way. Love your kids. Teach your kids. Don't call them names. Don't put them down. Don't load on them expectations and burdens that are more your responsibility, not theirs. Just because your dad was that way, don't be it to your kids. Your kids need to know they're loved, safe. They need space to grow, make mistakes, and learn. They need grace in the middle of their correction. They need your help. I had a friend whose dad we were all scared of. I saw in my friend too, he was scared of his dad. His dad was mean. He was not gentle. He was not kind. When he drank, it only got worse. I remember one time being at my friend's house, and I walked across his lawn to the front door, and he came storming out of the garage, grabbed me by the shirt before I realized he was even there, and he yelled in my face so loud the whole neighborhood could hear it. He was mad because I had walked on his lawn. I was terrified. I was embarrassed in front of my friends. I had no idea what I had just done. At our house, we walk on the lawn all the time. He never told us, hey, don't do that. I just seeded it or whatever. He just went off on me and yelled and inappropriately grabbed me. Once me and my sister were staying with friends from church when my parents were on vacation. We were in grade school at the time, and we were sitting at the table for dinner, and the dad came home from work as we were eating, and he must have had a bad day. He stormed in, and the whole house changed in 1 second. He came into the house. He brought every one of his problems with him. We were at the table eating, and his wife got up and tried greeting him, and you can tell she was nervous. She was trying to calm him down, and he went off on her because the dinner wasn't what he wanted, and how was he supposed to eat this filth, he said, right in front of us. She was so humiliated and hurt. I looked at the other kids, his kids, and they were terrified of their dad, wouldn't even look up at him. He was so nice of a guy at church, but this is who he was at home. I was not surprised when a few years later he lost his job and his marriage. Gentleness, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It begins with those nearest to us. It's also the way the Bible says we're supposed to share our faith. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "In your hearts, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you about the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect." We don't hate the world. Our God loves the world. He came to save sinners. Jesus hung out with tax collectors, prostitutes, and people like us. His desire for them was to come to know God, to be free of their sin, and to walk in new life. His goal wasn't to tear them down, but to show them the way that is right. Peter is talking to us believers, and he's talking in a chapter where he's sharing, in the middle of your suffering, keep doing good. In the middle of your persecution, keep doing good. And then he gets into this, that when you witness to somebody, do it with gentleness and respect. We've got to remember, the unbeliever is not our enemy. They are our mission. We don't win them over to Christ by hating them and fighting them, by tearing them down and condemning them in the streets. Their sin already condemns them. We're here to try to save them and help them know Jesus who can save them. Remember, David said, "Lord, it was your gentleness that made me great." Remember, Paul had said, "It was your kindness that led me to repentance." Another way the Bible teaches us gentleness is how we deal with those who've fallen into sin, or maybe even sinned against us. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone's caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore the person gently. Watch yourself, though, or you too might be tempted, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ." We are to restore them gently. Ephesians 4:29 says, "We're to not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouth, only what's helpful for building one another up according to their need." It says, "Don't grieve the Spirit. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Be kind and compassionate to each other, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you." This is the spirit of gentleness. It's the physical expression of God's grace. It's still speaking truth, for sure we must, but covering it in love for them. My youth pastor growing up was so instrumental in helping me know Christ and finding my calling, but he was not perfect. He made a lot of mistakes. He was a young guy. He crossed many lines in ministry that he was trying to find his way. He did things that parents and even the church had to say, "That's not good." And they weren't good. He was learning his call at the same time God was using him in mighty ways. Both were happening at the same time. Just like in our life, we can have sin and struggles and do good things because God is changing us. We're works in progress. These things, they go together. But what I loved about my senior pastor growing up was how he treated the youth pastor different than maybe congregation or others who were ready to jump on him. The senior pastor, he sat him in his office. He was calm. He met with him. He saw his heart, saw all the good he was doing too. He wasn't anxious, but would say, "Hey, you know, what did you learn from that there?" And that sometimes was it. And he said, "Maybe we can try doing it a different way next time." He still dealt with the issue, but didn't flip out, didn't beat him up. Gentleness can still get you to your goal. And even better than yelling and coming down on someone. The last way, though, I want to mention gentleness is called for in the Bible is when we find ourselves in arguments and quarrels. Gentleness is the way of the peacemaker. And that's what Jesus says we're called to be. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. It says in 2 Timothy 2:23-25, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because they only produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hopes that God will grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. How often we have been so intent in winning the argument that we fail to notice we've just lost the person or lost the greater war. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. It doesn't bring about what God wants. We're to be kind and able to teach. We need to apply this to social media. Apply this to whatever argument you might be in right now with your family or even a friend, and that's only getting in the way from the best God really wants in that situation. We're not to be winning arguments. We're to be winning souls for Christ. We're to be keeping the main thing the main thing. We're to be like Jesus, who whenever was baited and cornered by the Pharisees trying to trap him, he wouldn't play their game. We are called to be like him, to welcome the weary and the burdened, to be humble and gentle with the sinner, to point out to the one who needs the Lord, the one who has the power to save him. Ephesians 4:1-3 says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is gentleness. God said, David said that it was what God had for him that made him into the person he became. It's what Isaiah said, the servant of the Lord is filled with the Spirit. It's what Jesus said was in his own heart, gentle and humble. It's what a fruit of the Spirit says is wanting to produce in us. It's the physical expression of the grace of our God for a world he came to save. We all need it. We are all called to share it. Let the Spirit grow in you a greater gentleness and grace towards the others in your life. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.